Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. I think I told you guys not too long ago that the very word welcome, when spoken in greeting to somebody, will lower your blood pressure by 4 to 6 points. So let's try it again. Welcome! Let us begin our worship service this morning by singing our hymn of preparation, which you will find in the top page of your bulletin. I forgot it last time. So let's please stand and pass the peace. All right, if you will please regain your pew seats. I have several important announcements to make. One is, if you got your newsletter this week, you noticed that there was a very enticing picture of pancakes on the cover. We are having a pancake breakfast to support the Missions Committee and all of its many activities. And you will notice that is also in your bulletin. Please get your tickets now. They are available for members of the Mission Committee. And they'll be $5 right now, but if you wait till next Saturday to get them at the door, that's going to be $6. So keep your eyes open, find a member of the Missions Committee, and buy a ticket. Also, I want to announce that we're going to have an ice cream social to welcome our new minister and his wife. We're going to have it on the 22nd, and we know that the administrative board meets at 5, and we have said that we'd like to start it at 4, from 4 to 5:30, but if you want to come at 3:30 to 3:45, we'll have ice cream ready for you. And you can eat it and then go on to the administrative board meeting. And those of you who can't come till a little later, Linda will entertain you from 5 to 5:30. And you can get to know her a little bit better. There are also a lot of important meetings that are being held. And if you got your newsletter, might I suggest that you simply cut it out and stick them on the refrigerator? On August the 8th, that's today at 5 o'clock, the Council on Ministries is going to be meeting. And then Monday at 9 o'clock, August the 9th at 5:30, the SPRC, Staff Parish Relations Committee, will meet. And also the Board of Trustees is going to meet at 6 o'clock on Monday. Then Family Ministries on Tuesday the 10th, the Member Care Committee on Thursday the 19th, and then Administrative Board on the 22nd. So if you're active in this church, you've probably got some meetings you need to start. And with the new year starting, meetings will be beginning again. I also want to encourage you to read the information about the disciple group that you will find in your bulletin, the sheet that is there to fill out to join the disciple Bible study. And I also want to remind you of last week's announcement about the Singles and Singles Again support group. It will be a social activities and support group. Reverend Martin is very interested in sponsoring this, and I'd like to encourage you, give me a call or call the church office if you'd be interested in participating. And a final announcement. Starting this Monday through Thursday, we are teaming up to provide a vacation Bible school for the Grindle community from 5:30 to 7:30. We need youth and any adults that would like to help. The youth are meeting tonight at 6 p.m. in the youth room to plan and to rehearse this week of Bible study. We need as many youth as we can get to come and help in this mission opportunity. So please participate and help Main Street with its outreach into the community. Now, will you center your hearts and minds as the acolytes enter the sanctuary with the light of Christ?
Please stand for the call to worship. Gather before God, people of the covenant. Listen for God's word, O faithful ones. God has summoned us to this place. We believe God will speak to us here. Come to honor God and give thanks. Seek to learn and follow in God's ways. We come as willing and obedient servants. Let your steadfast love, O God, be upon us. God calls us as workers for justice. God sends us out as advocates for the dispossessed. We are here to be equipped for ministry. We expect to be empowered for our service.
Thank you. Let us join together and pray in the invocation for the rich heritage we have received from your hands. We are grateful, O God. You have fashioned our hearts and observe our deeds. Now we come together, awaiting further instructions from your word. Teach us here what we need to know in order to live faithfully in this troubled world. Lead us beyond the routines of worship to a genuine, life-changing encounter with you. Amen. You may be seated.
Today's epistle reading is from the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the first three verses, and then continuing with verses 8 through 16. If you wish to follow along in this reading, you can find it on page 273 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. In these passages, the author argues that belief is seeing what is promised to be more certain than what can be seen in the present. But the visible creation offers proof that the unseen is more permanent and reliable than that which can be seen. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Sarah are all held up as shining examples of this kind of trust. Listen now for God's word. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This morning, we would like to go to prayer, remembering those within our community, those in the hospital, or Miss Covington, Mr. Han, Mr. Fitz, and Jay Pendergrass. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we bow our hearts and our heads in your presence this day, we give thanks to you for those sojourners of old who looked for a land, who had faith in your word. It did not consider the human elements of life and the realities of life to be a barrier to the will of God. And so, dear Lord, as we pray this day for these ones whose names have been mentioned and those that we name who are dear in our hearts, we thank you, dear God, that our humanness is not a barrier to you working within them and within us what is your will. So we surrender ourselves afresh this day for you to use us, no matter what our age, whether young, and some might say too young, or old, and others might say too old. But to you we surrender ourselves to the will of God, to use us, to use our friends, our neighbors, our children, our friends, all of us together for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In this land, in this church, in this town, right now. Holy God, use us. Here are we, dear Lord. Send us to wherever you would send us, for wherever you would have us to go. And if we are not submissive to your will, dear God, work within us in that gentle, loving way in which a father nurtures his child to do your will. We pray again for those who protect our highways and our byways during the day and during the night, for those who wear the uniform of our country and go where they send, those on foreign soil this day placing their lives in harm's way. Be with them. And we pray, dear God, for the peace of the world and the peace of Jerusalem as we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, would you come, please? Let us pray. Holy God, as we have obeyed your word by bringing into the storehouse our gifts of offerings and of our tithes, we pray your blessings upon these gifts and the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And equally pray your blessings upon giver and gift and those who chose not or who had not to give this day, that all we do be for the glory of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
Good morning. We have a small crowd today, but that's okay. I want to share with you this morning about something that really touched me the past couple of weeks. About a week and a half ago, I took the youth to Panama City Beach, Florida, and we went there for a big conference called Big Stuff, and that's with one F, if you know how to spell stuff. I don't know why they do it with one F. That's just how they do it. But one of the nights, the speaker, his name is Stuart Hall, he explained how Christ is in us and how the light of Christ shines through us. And he explained it in such a way that our youth just really got it. And so I wanted to share that with you because it just really had an impact on us and on your older peers. So we're gonna do this, and I have my helpers, Josie and Jason. And if y'all will, we'll set it up here so everybody else can see too. Okay, so this is you. Can y'all see? Can everybody see? This is you, and this is us without Christ. And when we don't have Christ, we have sin, and sin is in us, right? What are some examples of sin? Yeah. Lying. What else? You forgot? Doing bad things. What kind of bad things? Like not listening to your parents, or not loving your friend, or cheating, or bullying your friend, right? Stealing. Yeah, those are all examples of sin. So without Christ, we have sin in us, and the people around us can see that sin in us. But when we have Christ in us, Colossians 2, verse 9 says, Christ dwells in you. So when we have Christ in us, that sin goes away, and Christ comes in. We have Christ. But then, so we have a clean slate when we have Christ in us. But then if we go and we cheat or we lie, then that sin comes back. But the cool part about it is that Christ covers that sin for us. So Christ covers it for us. The price was paid for us. He covers that sin. So we also have Christ's light. And Josie, you want to come and stand up? When First John chapter 1, verse 5 says, God is light. So we have God's light. This is God's light. We have God's light. And when Christ's light shines and you have Christ in you, that light shines through you. You see the light shining through you? So Christ's light shines through you. What are some things that you can show that you have Christ in you and you're shining Christ's light bright and other people can see it in you? What What are some ways that people know that you have Christ's light in you? What are some things that you do for people to know that? Loving others. Yeah, that's a big one. Loving others. When you love others, then people see that light, because God is love, God is light, they see that light shining through you. But what happens when you surround yourself with people that kind of aren't a good influence on you or something like that? What happens is they cause that light to go out in you. They cover it up. So we need to surround ourselves with good people and do good things so that everybody else can see that light shining through us. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? I thought it was cool, and it really touched us, and it really touched our youth to see how Christ's light shines through us. And when we surround ourselves with people that influence us in a not so good way, then it puts a veil over that light of Christ. Let's have a prayer. God, thank you so much for dwelling in us. And we thank you for allowing that light to shine through us, God. And we ask that you would help us to surround ourselves with the people that would not put that veil over the light. And especially as we enter a new school year, we really, really need to remember that, God. And we thank you so much, and we love you so much. In your son's name we pray, and all God's children said, amen.
Let us join together in affirming our faith as found in your bulletin, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered unto Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence you shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hear now the reading of God's Word as contained in the Gospel according to Luke. Begin reading with the 32nd verse of the 12th chapter. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourself that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action. Have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Mark Twain said, it's not what I know about the Scriptures, or not what I don't know about Scriptures that bother me. It's what I do know about the Scriptures and don't do. That's what bothers me. In this passage of Scripture that we have read this morning, it doesn't take me long to realize that I'm a little out of step with the type of gospel that Jesus proclaimed to his disciples. I mean, he did say in this passage, go and sell what you have. And I'm assuming he means sell all, give alms, and in another place he says, take up your cross and follow me. As I read this passage of Scripture and I think about the commitment that Christ calls us to be a part of, and I think about his disciples as Jesus proclaimed this word to them, and then he makes this statement that I can only imagine what it would have been like to hear the very Son of God say, fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I think of those words, fear not. I think about those times in life when maybe because of some experience or some bump in the night, an unlocked door, whatever that caused me to be afraid. I'm reminded of the story they tell of the lion, that he will dig a hole in the ground and he'll stick his head down in the ground and he'll begin to roar, and all the animals in the forest will know that the lion is hungry and he's preparing to eat, and the animals almost become paralyzed with fear. Fear is a terrible thing. And sometimes in this world of ours, we experience fear and anxiety that comes to us from the way that the stock market goes, or the way the economy is fluctuating, or how our employment is being threatened. And when you think about Jesus' words to His disciples, none of this would have distressed them. They had one concern: to do the will of the Heavenly Father. As I meditated upon this passage of Scripture, I thought about those individuals that maybe I have known that have lived this passage. I met a movie star, and I remember her sharing with us, and she surrendered all the glamour of Hollywood and became a missionary to Tibet. I knew an old man who had the riches of Texas, and he sold all of that and became a missionary to Puerto Rico. I have met others who maybe did not have to surrender this world's goods, but have chosen instead to dedicate their lives to the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I knew one other individual who was the heir apparent to the automotive industry in New Zealand. He surrendered all of that to be a minister. I've known of business people who have given up their employment to become instructors in Bible schools and other places to dedicate their life to the furtherance of the gospel. There's a song that you've heard sung, especially during the 60s. People, get ready. There's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage. You just get on board. Love is the key that keeps them diesels humming. You don't need no ticket to just get on board. I think about those turbulent days during the 60s. And about those times that I have heard songs sung that took me to reflect upon a higher power. And Jesus talks to us in this passage of Scripture about being ready, about being on guard and being prepared for His return. I wonder how many of us know what it means to be on guard. My experience, again, was in the military. I was in a battlefield. It was my responsibility to have the jet ready. And sometimes I would go out to what we call the revetment, and to have the plane ready, to have the plane cocked, as they say. The pilot's helmet was there, and all of the things that he would need to fly this aircraft. And sometimes I would sit there for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, all day. Nothing would happen. One day, while sitting there, I heard the truck pull up at the back of the plane. The pilot comes scrambling off. He ran up, got in the cockpit. I handed him his material and put on his helmet, strapped him in. And while I was standing there, he began to crank the engine. That was unusual. You didn't usually do that. While the crew chief was standing that close to the intake, he fired it off, and in just a few moments, he was gone. He was gone for several hours refueling. Even changes came in and took place, and we had other planes come in. They flew there around a hillside in Vietnam all night long. You see, there were two pilots down on a hillside, and as they stood there and they could fire their weaponry and they could keep the enemy away from them, and early the next morning, helicopters flew in and grabbed these pilots off the hillside and brought them back and rode them around the base, and like a parade and sirens blaring and horns blowing. But it all started by being on guard. By being prepared, by being ready. And I wonder if we have any experiences in our life that calls for us, for the cause of the kingdom of God, to be likewise prepared. For Jesus said, like a servant who is ready, prepared for whatever time. Motel 6 says, we'll keep the light on for you. Keeping the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ burning at Main Street. No matter where, no matter when, for all people, we are endeavoring to communicate that we have a faith that causes us to believe that Jesus Christ is going to return. The disciples believed that Jesus was coming in their day. They believed that He was coming in their generation. We can't answer the questions of why hasn't Jesus come. But we can, like them, unite our hearts and commit ourselves in mission and in ministry. And be prepared. In the Jewish community, a wedding was more than just a couple hours experience. In the Jewish community, the bridegroom would come at whatever time he so chose, and it was for those that were waiting on him to be ready. He would go with his bride and they would celebrate. And you know the story of Jesus' first miracle when he turned the water into wine. It was a time of massive celebration. It was a time to party. And in this passage, Jesus is speaking to them about an experience like that. And he says, blessed are those servants who are prepared, no matter whether it's midnight, early morning. But so oftentimes, when we read these kingdom parables, these kingdom stories, there's a dramatic reversal. Instead of the slaves getting up and feeding and catering and taking care of the master, it's the master who comes in and has the slaves to sit. And he serves them. We can only imagine what it's going to be like in that great day when we're all gathered in, as the song says, and we sit down at the marriage feast of the Lamb and we experience God, Son, Jesus Christ, serving us. We who are slaves, we who are servants, the good news is that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And we, though being the chiefest of sinners, Christ died for us, and He loves us, and He calls for us to be an expectant people, to stay on guard, for ministry and to stay on guard for mission and for the opportunities to share the good news of Christ. The other week I visited with one of my good friends back in the Florence area. He began to share with me a personal concern about the well-being of his son. He said, "I have never seen my son so upset. I really was wondering whether he was going to have a heart attack or not." And as we talked about what happened to him, his son lived just a few blocks from his house. And during the day, somebody broke into his home and stole his belongings. And he shook his head and said, "I've never seen him so upset in all of my life." Jesus says here, if the master would have known at what hour the thief was coming, he would have been prepared. But he didn't know, and so we don't know. We don't know when Christ is going to return. But we hear the commission: be ready. Be prepared. Be a disciple. Do good deeds. Respond to those that are around us. Embrace this gospel of the kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Closing hymn number 508, Faith While Trees Are Still in Blossom. Let us stand together. would like to mention before we receive the benediction, one, that Jimmy Wade is still in the hospice house, and invite you to go by and to visit with him. And also to the mission funds need the support of you in the buying of tickets for our pancake breakfast that is provided by IHOP this coming Saturday from 7:30 to 10. So buy some tickets and invite some folks to church and meet the new preacher, whoever he is. Receive now the benediction. And now may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit abide with you and keep you both now and always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit we pray. Amen.